We have two scriptures today. The first is from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, starting in the 38th verse. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." And our second reading is from James, the first chapter. "But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves." The word of God for the people of God.
Okay, when you looked in your bulletin and you saw the title of the sermon, "Do you really want to be a member of this church?" you probably said, "Boy, what a crazy question that is." Of course, everybody wants to be a member of a church somewhere, right? And of course, every church wants me to be a member, right? Well, I think the answer is maybe. I recently took a class on church leadership, and we had to discuss those questions, and it got me thinking about a lot of things. I want to share it with you this morning. It's the middle of January. Some of us are still trying to keep those New Year's resolutions. I haven't lost any weight. Maybe that resolution had something to do with your relationship with God and your relationship with the church. For some, that can even be thinking about joining a church, are becoming more active in the church. Pastor John talked about the baptism of the Lord last week and how baptism was the first step of being part of the church. First of all, we have to think about what's it mean to join something. Well, the definition of join is to unite or come together or become a member of. We think about when we have joined in other situations. You may have been joined in marriage. You may have joined the military. And in both of those situations, you have done something that is life-altering because you have made a commitment. And sometimes you step back and you go, "Wow. What a commitment I made. I didn't know that standing there pledging those few little words would set my life into a new direction. Little did I know that when I stood here almost 39 years ago saying some words to Carolyn, that I would end up running a daycare for my grandkids someday." That's the kind of thing commitment does. And when you stand up here and you join the church, you make a pledge, just like when you're getting married or when you're being sworn into service. Do you remember what you said? It's on page 48 in the hymnal. You don't have to look it up. I'll read it to you. The pastor asks, "Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?" And you respond by saying, "I will." That's really easy, isn't it? I mean, anybody ought to be able to do that. Takes less than 30 seconds, faster than brushing your teeth. I wish everything was that easy. Remember the Staples commercial with the easy button? When life got hard, you pushed the easy button. solved all your problems? I want to show you a video this morning. Greg's going to put it up here about another thing that would make your life easy. Let's watch his video.
Who do you think you're honking at, huh?
What, you don't like the way I drive? Why'd you come on in here? I'll give you a driving lesson.
I didn't know.
You want a piece of me? Why don't you come out and get you some, huh? Where are you going to go now? Well, you can't speed up by anybody now. You think you're better than me? What, you think? Oh, I don't like the way you drive. What, you got a fancy new buttons? Huh? Beep out.
The Trunk Monkey, a revolutionary idea you'll only find at Suburban Auto Group. Pending approval by Attorney General.
All right, back in the trunk.
I didn't see that as an option when I bought my last car. If you want to have fun, go on the internet and put in Trunk Monkey. There's about a dozen of these videos of this crazy button you push and the monkey jumps out and solves your problem. I wish life was that easy sometimes. When we make those commitments in life, to get married, to join the service, even to go to school, it's easy to pledge those few words or sign on that dotted line. It's what comes afterwards that really shows what we're made of. Suddenly that commitment stuff is a lot of work. It takes dedication. When we join the church, first off, we say we're going to be loyal to United Methodist Church. What's that mean, to be loyal to something? First thing I think of is a dog being loyal to its master. I don't think my cats are that loyal to me, but I think a dog's being loyal. Well, the first definition of being loyal means giving or showing firm and constant support. In other words, that can be used in place of loyal is to be faithful, true, devoted. It sounds a lot like that marriage thing again, is what it does. If we're loyal to the church, I guess that means that we don't cheat on the church by going to another church or a different faith. But I think it means more than that. I think it means that we don't schedule our golf games for Sunday morning. When it comes to picking out our Cardinal games for the year, we don't pick all the ones on Sunday. And when we get ready to decide to meet with friends, we pick a date that doesn't conflict with that committee that we're on at church. Being loyal to something sets our priorities. And being loyal can be a lot tougher than we thought. Second thing we say is we're going to uphold the church with our prayers. Again, that sounds easy. You just remember to say to God, please help the church. You're done, right? But how often do we really pray for the church? We pray for the families and the friends in the church, especially those having problems. And those are all good things. Prayer for our church family is like the first step in that. But we're really called on to pray for the church itself. And in doing so, we can realize what an amazing institution that it is. The United Methodist Book of Worship actually has five prayers for the church. And I think I've used a couple over the years, but I want to read one to you right now. Think about this. O God of all times and places, we pray for your church, which is set today amid the perplexities of a changing order and face-to-face with new tasks. Baptize her afresh in the life-giving spirit of Jesus. Bestow upon her a great responsiveness to duty, a swifter compassion with suffering, and an utter loyalty to your will. Help her to proclaim boldly the coming of your kingdom. Put upon her lips the ancient gospel of her Lord. Fill her with a prophet's scorn of tyranny and a Christ-like tenderness for the heavy-laden and downtrodden. Bid her cease from seeking her own life, lest she lose it. Make her valiant to give up her life to humanity, that like her crucified Lord, she may mount by the path of the cross to a higher glory, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That's kind of asking a lot. That's what God's asking us to do when we pray for the church. The third thing we say we're going to do is we're going to uphold the church by our presence. Not present, presence. Okay, that's easy. We know what that means. We got to show up, don't we? You all should get a star this morning for showing up in the bad weather. When should we show up? When we need the church, or when the church needs us? And how often is enough? Well, Christmas, good time, Easter. If the family's not coming over for dinner and we got to cook, you know. And Thanksgiving's a good time to show up too. But we don't want to show up on that first Sunday of the month because they do that communion thing and that's real intimidating. And we don't want to show up till the kids get older because they might be annoying. And people know that Sunday's the day I need to mow my lawn, so I can't show up then. You look outside this morning? How often's enough? Well, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more you see the day drawing near." That writer of Hebrews saying, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some. I will tell you what some United Methodist churches tell their new members. They say, you need to be here 3 out of 4 Sundays, unless you're sick. Simple as that. That's a good goal. It's a good goal to have. And attending church when you're on vacation is also a great thing to do. If you've never done it, it's a great experience. I traveled a lot for business when I was working. I was lucky. I was never gone very many weekends, a few. And when I was away from home, I found out if I went to church on Sunday at a Methodist church, I didn't feel so lonely anymore. I suddenly felt like there was a little bit of home there when I walked in the door and I heard the same hymns I know and this order of worship was somewhat the same. Made you feel, you know, like that's family too. It's a great experience. So, 3 out of 4, great goal to have. And if you're on a committee, you said you're going to be part of a committee, you got to be there every meeting. Okay, those are the easy ones. Let's do the tough one now that a good pastor like John would run from, I know. But since I'm just a dumb lay speaker, I can talk about this. 4, we need to uphold the church with our gifts. Oh my, we're talking about money now. That's a sore spot with some people. You should never talk about money in church. Why would they even bring that up, especially to somebody thinking about joining church? That'd make them run for the hills. Church shouldn't do that. And of course, we know Jesus never talked about money. Oh, there was that story about the rich young ruler, and Jesus said you need to give everything away. And then there's that story of the widow's mite that we just heard. In fact, if you look at it, Jesus talked about money more than anything else except the kingdom of heaven. If you look at the parables, 11 out of the 39 parables are about money. It tells you something about how Jesus thought the way we respond with money is so important. And how about that widow's mite story? Let me just refresh your memory. You just heard one version of it. I've got a little different version here to read. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on." I like the picture on the front of the bulletin. I didn't pick it out. I guess Debbie did, showing the woman putting in the two coins. And from what I understand, the way that actually was is there was these large, looked like tubas, probably, these great big metal bells, and people would walk up and throw their money into them, and people could sit out by the treasury, and they could listen, and they could say, "Oh, man, he's a big giver. Will you hear that sound going in there?" Don't know if they threw a few rocks in, too, but anyway, they could tell by their sound. And then there's this thing about supporting the church with your tithing. Now, that's getting a little crazy when you talk to somebody joining a church that we want you to give 10%. And we say, where does it even talk about that in the Bible? Well, it does a lot of places. Malachi is one of them, the third chapter. It says, "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." I do know this, that the largest and fastest growing United Methodist Church in the United States, in Leawood, Kansas, tells their prospective members class, if you're not ready to tithe, you may not be ready to join the church. We want you to keep coming. We love you. We want you to be a disciple. But you got to be able to make that step. Pretty interesting to be the biggest and the fastest growing. I got a story to tell you, and I think I've told it before, and it hit home yesterday. There's a downtown congregation in a middle-sized community that sometimes finds transient and homeless people sleeping around the church. And the church staff had made rules about what to do when they encountered somebody or if somebody came and asked for help. And believe me, somebody comes and asks for help at the church here every week. And they had meetings and they had plans and they had rules about how do you give out vouchers and how do you contact social agencies for these folks. One day the pastor is leaving the church and he looks back and he sees the part-time custodian walking, carrying the trash out to the dumpster. And there's a homeless person sitting by the dumpster. And he sees the custodian just walk right up to him, get out his billfold, give him some money, says something, throws the trash in the dumpster and walks back. And the pastor said to him when he got back in the church, he said, "You gave him some money, and he didn't even ask you for anything." And he says, "Aren't you worried about that he might misuse it for alcohol or drugs?" And the janitor said, "You know, I always do what I can. Give him a little money, and I say, God bless you. Because even though there might be pretty messed up, there's some mother's son. There's some father's child. And so I give them something. And what they do with that money, well, they have to answer to God about that. I just have to answer to God about what I do with mine." That's it in a nutshell. You just have to answer to God about what you do with yours. It's a priority thing, once again. And finally, that last promise, number 5. We say we're going to uphold the United Methodist Church with our service. What service? Well, the action of helping or doing work for someone or something. Simply helping out the church. And that list is almost endless. Can you greet people coming in the door? Can you read the scripture? Can you pick up trash in the front yard? Can you bring a pie to a dinner? Can you clean the fellowship hall after an event? Can you teach a Sunday school class? Can you put up a Christmas tree or take a Christmas tree down? Can you help pull weeds? Can you call those who have been missing from church? Service is inside, it's outside. It's not limited by our boundaries. It's around the world. Peter said in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Folks, I started out with that question. Do you really want to be a member of this church? Because I want us to consider that commitment that we make when we join a church. It shouldn't be considered a small thing. It should set our priorities for the rest of our lives, just like any other commitment that we might have made. It's what God wants us to do. It's what he wanted his people to do as far back as the Bible is written. He just wants them to be there for him. God is here for us. Can't we be here for him? Amen.